You're listening to American Girl Women with Laura Treader and Lindsay Adams-Franca. This is a podcast where two millennial gals gather around the microphone and reminisce on the cultural phenomenon that took our childhood by storm, American Girl dolls. Contrary to what you might think, we aren't just talking about dolls here. We're diving into the high highs and the low lows of getting hooked on American Girl and all the childhood memories that come flooding back. So join us and a few special guests each week as we become American Girl women.
Today on American Girl Women, we are joined by Sydney Gore, a New York City-based writer, editor, and journalist, with her work featured in the New York Times, Vogue, W Magazine, plus many other publications. She currently works as a senior digital design editor at Architectural Digest. Sydney grew up in southern New Jersey, where her childhood hobbies included reading, writing, dancing, and playing tennis. Plus, she had quite the collection of American Girl dolls, as well as the AG mini rooms, which she recently wrote extensively about for Architectural Digest. We are so excited to connect with her on all things American Girl. Sydney, welcome to AGW.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, and I can't wait to discuss all things American Girl.
It is our honor, Sydney. We recently interacted with you via our Instagram page, but we have just become huge fans of your work, and I think we definitely want to dive into some of the American Girl related pieces that you've written, but this is truly a treat and a dream to have you.
The feeling is mutual. Like I said, I've waited my whole life for this moment. And I truly have been like waiting years to be able to find any excuse to talk about American Girl in the written form, of course. But it's just kind of funny that it all happened like with working at Architectural Digest, which has absolutely nothing to do with dolls, but I've been able to like find a way to tie all these pieces of the AG universe into design.
And what if that's like not the adult dream, then what is?
Agreed.
Seriously, being able to like blend all worlds together, it's incredible. And I feel like AG gives us all so much to like really dissect. Mm-hmm. Like every element was just so thoughtful and had so much meaning behind it.
Right.
That, you know, I'm sure there are countless people who have done like their theses on American Girl. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much to pull apart. So it's really great to connect with you today, Sydney, and dive in a bit deeper with American Girl and your experience with it, especially after your story on the mini rooms.
Thank you, my pride and joy. It felt like, honestly, like a college dissertation. I was like, this is going to be like my magnum opus. Like, this is the piece I've been wanting to tell forever. And it's funny because it came up when I was interviewing for my job at AD. My boss, Amy Astley, who's an icon in her own right, like truly so incredible, like founded Teen Vogue, like such a boss. One of the questions that she asked me when I was interviewing for the job was like, have you always been interested in design? Like, where do you think that kind of stemmed from? Like, was it more recent? Is this something that was always there? And it was in that moment that I realized that it all goes back to the AG mini rooms. And I was like, wow, I actually used to spend like so much of my time as a child, like rearranging these rooms and just like really going crazy, like switching the walls and the wallpapers and like specifically the apartment. I realized that the way that I decorate my apartment now, like very much mirrors like a lot of that furniture and like the chrome and just all these details that at the time, like I didn't know it was, you know, like Bauhaus or just these very specific references. I just thought it looked cool. And now as an adult, it's like, that's what I'm doing. And it's just like really crazy how that happens.
It all comes back to the mini rooms. I feel like personally, I connect the most with the loft apartment mini mm-hmm. room. And I believe that in a way that made me, I'm not going to say it like inspired me to move to New York City, mm-hmm. but I will say that like it informed a opinion or perspective that I had on what city living was like or like
right.
single girl apartment living was mm-hmm. like. And it made it seem so glamorous. I will say that, like, obviously a lot of things can play into that, but the way that the mini room was designed specifically, I think, to, like, be a reference for New York, like, mm-hmm. had such an impact.
I completely agree. Like, I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey outside of Philadelphia, but close enough to New York where, you know, I would come to visit. I'd, you know, go to Broadway shows and eventually like would go to the American Girl store. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know, something about that room, it just made it seem like such a chic place. And I always kind of thought in the back of my mind, like, oh, like one day, like I could live in a place like this, you know, and I sort of envisioned like that kind of an apartment, not really knowing how much any of that costs, of course. but I just also think that what's crazy too, is just like all of the detail that went into the minis and like every single mm-hmm. little product, like they had a cover for like all the little books that were in there. There was like a cat and a little hamster that you could have, like the food they had, you know, like little popcorn bowls and like pizzas. And it was just like, I've never really seen anything like that. Obviously Barbie was around and all these other toys that I'm sure we all played with, but I just think the craftsmanship is really like unparalleled.
Definitely. And we spoke about this prior to recording, but it was really so interesting to explore the mini rooms for an episode last year, which we also recently re-released a few weeks ago. So check it out. But Laura actually introduced me to the mini rooms. I phased out of AG long before they were in the catalog, so I really didn't have any knowledge of them until recently. But going through each room was so much fun. I was so impressed with the level of detail. And it's also just interesting to think about that these rooms focused in on individual creativity versus the character play that you mainly experience with AG and their dolls. Like, it taps into a different way to be creative and imaginative, and I think allows girls who might not be interested in their dolls that much anymore to still play and connect in this imaginative space. Like, at a certain point, we just stop playing as we enter into adulthood. And this really squeezed out a little bit more of that joy. But yeah, I love from your story that you were able to connect with someone on the product design team at American Girl.
It was so hard. It was the biggest challenge to find someone that like A, actually like was there when it happened, and B,
right.
Yeah, like remembered what it was. And she was even like, you know, I wasn't, you know, leading the team on that, but she was like, I was there. It was like early into her, I think like American Girl career.
Wow. Talk about a loyal employee. That's incredible.
Yeah.
The longevity there. But it was really interesting to hear that the AG minis stemmed from the book Tiny Treasures, which mm-hmm. is a classic craft book from the 90s for those who are not familiar, where they taught you how to like make little miniature objects out of everyday items like buttons or bottle caps, mm-hmm. or my favorite was the cake made out of sponges.
Yes. All of those books were such classics. Nobody talks about them. I actually ordered the book because I couldn't find it at my parents' house. And I was like, I need it for research, but it didn't come in time for the story. But I have so many of the other ones, like, you know, like Care and Keeping a View. And yep. I think there's one called like Money Makers. And those are actually in my apartment, like in a nice little stack. But yeah, the books were also a big part of it.
I'm going to throw something out there totally wild, and I would love to hear what the both of you think, but I am just sitting here listening to all of us talk about the mini rooms and like how they made us feel, even like Lindsay, you as an adult getting, you know, indoctrinated into the mini room world. And I feel like there's something intrinsically feminist about the mini rooms mm-hmm. because, and hear me out, like they are dollhouse adjacent, mm-hmm. but there's something like specifically very like conventional about dollhouses, where like you typically have like a very like suburban setup with mm-hmm. maybe like a mom and dad and like a baby mm-hmm. or like a kid. And these were truly like the girls are gonna girl in these rooms, and mm-hmm. they are simply yeah. for the vibes and not for like serving a purpose. Like they're not like mm-hmm. utilitarian in like the household. They're just like fun.
Exactly. Like it's really just all about you, which I mm-hmm. loved. Like it has nothing to do with a doll. A doll could not fit right. into these rooms. I tried it many times in the early stages and it did not work. So I was like, okay, I'm just, you know, purely doing this based on the decor. But yeah, I love that it was just really a tool for self-expression. I'm an only child. And so with regards to my bedroom, I actually did not have a lot of say in terms of the actual like interiors and the decor. My mom had like a very specific vision, and I'm not dragging her by any means by saying this, but like she wanted it to look a certain way and she was not letting me make like any modifications. And so this really just became my outlet for being like, okay, like if I could do anything, what would I do? Like, how would I have the walls? Like, what would I put up on them? Like, what color would I, you know, like make my sheets? So yeah, having this very cheetah forward loft apartment. I think I was influenced by the Cheetah Girls at the time. You know, that was just what I was into. And like my god sister had the one room that was like orange, and I think it was called like, it was like a groovy sort of like 70s inspired room. And like she had that one, and like that was like very like on brand for her at the time. And so it was just fun to see like the different rooms that like different girls that you knew would have that sort of like represented like who they were.
Right. I love that these rooms allowed girls to develop their sense of design through play. And Sydney, I think it's really impactful that you were able to connect in this way with your mini rooms and have that sense of design authority. Like, even if you weren't able to decorate your own bedroom, these mini rooms were an outlet to help define what decor elements you were drawn to, especially at an early age. And I think a lot about having a dollhouse and what a valid hobby that is, even in adulthood. And I love that in your story on the mini rooms, you interviewed Kimberly Gordon, the fashion designer and founder of Selkie, on her dollhouse adventures through her Instagram account. Is it Tiny Pink Problems? Is that what
I think that is? Let me double check here. Yeah, Tiny Pink Problems, which is like extremely feminist and so crazy, but in a good way.
Totally. Her work on that dollhouse is amazing and truly an inspiration. Like, I live in Brooklyn, and unfortunately, it's not in the four-story brownstone of my dreams yet, but I have spent countless hours on Zillow looking at houses and how I would decorate them. Like, nothing makes me happier than seeing a floor plan of a home and figuring out where I would place the furniture or how I would decorate it, but I think having a dollhouse would really take this to the next level.
It's really interesting. I mean, just the whole kind of like phenomenon around miniatures. And I think there's like a very specific word for miniature artists. I don't want to like say the wrong thing, but it exists and I'm sure they will gladly chime in online. But yeah, it's just like a whole world. And even just with doing this piece, like there was so much that I couldn't include just because of like word count purposes and being like, okay, people probably don't want to hear me like go on and on like talking about the whole like landscape of miniatures, but like, you know, these are things that could be a whole book if someone really wanted to take the time, which, you know, maybe someday I will. But yeah, I just, it's such a rabbit hole,
right? And I think what's interesting too is that, like, as you were saying, like the attention to detail was so impeccable. I don't want to like hate on Barbie by any means right now, but like when you think of like her accessories, it was like a plastic, like usually like one color item, whatever that object was, it was like the bare minimum to knowing that that object was what it was supposed to be. But even like the smallest of things throughout all of like American Girl's endeavors, like looking at like the tabletop dishware and birthday settings or Samantha's little paint set, like everything was so highly detailed and like functional for like a doll. It really just brought you into that world. And like the minis seemed they were following in that vibe too. It's, yeah, it's really incredible.
Yeah. I mean, these should really be in a museum. I think it's a shame, but you can buy them if you didn't have the chance to have one, you can buy them on eBay. There are people that will sell them like with the full complete like sets for the rooms. I had the diner, the purple bedroom, the loft, and then like there's a patio, like, rooftop kind of patio, and I have that as well, still all intact.
Did the lights still work on them?
I haven't plugged it in. I like can't find the plug right now, but I want to believe that they still work.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing that you still have all of them. I mean, the urge to just dive right back in is strong for sure.
Always, because every time I look at them, I'm like, oh, this is like crooked, or like, ah, oh, this looks dusty. But then I'm like, I can't find this one piece. Like, I think my cats hid some of the things. So it's, gonna be a whole great search. But I have also like a drawer. There was like this drawer that you could put underneath them to like put all of the little, like accessories. So yeah, I have to also dig through there and see what's been collecting dust, basically.
Well, we've kind of alluded to a few little insights as to how you were as a child, Sydney, but we always like to ask our guests so we can kind of get the vibe of what they were like. What were you like growing up?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I was an only child, so had a lot of solo time. Hence, I think my mom very early on like getting me into the AG universe. I really enjoyed, like reading and writing. For a long time, I thought that I would be one of those like writer illustrators, like the author of like Eloise and like Madeline or something. That didn't quite pan out fully, but again, it's never too late, maybe. And yeah, and I just always did a bunch of activities like dance, like ballet and tap. I was playing sports, just a little bit of everything. But yeah, the dolls were always in the mix. I can't remember exactly what age that I got my first Bitty Baby, but I had two of them. So I had like two of, I guess, with the complexions, they were supposed to be like black babies, but they were like two different skin tones. So I had those. And I think I probably just pretended they were like my little siblings or something since I was alone. And then graduated to the dolls. And my first one was Addie. From there, I can't quite remember the order, but I want to say like I either got like Samantha or Felicity, but I had both of them. And then Kirsten, Molly, Kit, Kaya, Girl of the Year, Lindsay, Marisol at some point. I had one of those dolls that you could customize that was supposed to look like you and, didn't quite hit the mark, but we tried. And then I think my last ones were like Nellie and whatever Felicity's friend was, like
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Yeah. I think
Wow.
that's my
That is,
full lineup. Oh, and then now I have Claudie. I was gifted Claudie, so she's in the rotation.
That is quite the collection. Do you remember like asking for dolls specifically, like in
Oh,
any
yeah.
particular
It was
order?
always like every Christmas, like, a new name would be on the list. And so it kind of, yeah, it was like one by one. Either my grandparents would gift me a doll or my parents, maybe for like a birthday. And then I remember I must have been about like maybe 10 or 11 when I went to the American Girl store in Chicago because one of my best friends at the time had moved there. So that was like the big thing that we got to go do. And we went to the store there and did the whole lunch and everything. And I just have this very vivid memory of like the little sandwiches coming out because they had like a special, like a tea sandwich for like each doll. And
Cute.
Kirsten, and yeah. And so, but Kirsten's was like egg salad. And I knew from the jump, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna like this, but I was kind of a people pleaser at the time. So I was like, okay, I'll eat them all. And I just remember taking a bite and I was like, this is disgusting. Like I need to spit this out, but I couldn't because you had, like the nice napkins. So like a napkin that you'd have to put back on the table. And I just like, I really wanted to, I was like, I do not feel well. And my mom was just like, you need to eat it all. And I was just like looking at her, like, please don't make me eat this. And I mean, I got it down there, but it was a struggle. And really after that, I was just like, yeah, I really do not fuck with Kirsten. Like she's just not for me. Like her whole vibe, this food, her story, I honestly just found boring. But yeah, I will never forget that sandwich ever. And I've never had an egg
Wow.
sandwich since. Like, it's not for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they have to know their audience is
I mean,
like
what child wants to eat an egg sandwich in the 20, you know, in the 2000s, let alone the 2020s? I hope they took that off the menu. I don't know if other people
my
gave feedback and I wasn't offered the opportunity at the time, but that would be my feedback to them. Like, please don't serve the children egg
Oh my God.
sandwiches.
I would love to see what the menu was, like the themed menu from like that time period. Because now like the items at the American Girl Cafe are like more general. It's not in theme.
Yeah, it's probably like
So
stuff you could get at like Applebee's.
literally,
Yeah, it's a lot
it's
of,
like chicken
because they
tenders.
probably realized like that's what the kids want. They don't want these like themed tea sandwiches. And that also just strikes up a memory, not from the store, but because I was an only child, I would spend a lot of time with my mom, and she always used to, we would do like tea time in my room, and specifically with like Felicity. So like I would dress Felicity up in one of the fancier gowns, like I want to say this one blue gown, and so she'd be like set up at her little table, like with like the bundt cake and everything, like the tea, and then we would have our
Cute.
set up, like real adult sized things. And so that was something that my mom and I always did when I was young. So I, you know, Felicity, she's my girl.
That's
Oh,
adorable.
obsessed with that.
Were you also acquiring a lot of outfits for the dolls, or was it more so
Oh,
focused
yeah.
on the dolls themselves?
Outfits, furniture. Like, again, I wish that we
Ooh.
could be in my childhood home right now because the tour I would give you would be insane. There's basically like a whole closet dedicated to all of my dolls and their accessories. So it's like the canopy beds, like the dressers, and all of the dolls are like sleeping in their respective beds, or like the sled, the holiday carriage. And we bring out the holiday carriage like for Christmas time. As a part of like my mom's little like holiday decor setup,
Oh, I
which
love
is always
that.
nice to like see the dolls in action in their winter clothes.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. That is so fun. Did you ever like mix and match any of these dolls in different outfits or with different furniture?
Yeah, so I was very strict in terms of like keeping their wardrobes to themselves. Like, I never mixed their wardrobes, but I would put them in the modern looks and I would mix and match those. But I was always like, you know, like these
Oh.
are Felicity's clothes, like these are Addie's clothes. Like, I don't know. Maybe again, it could be just like me being an only child, like having my own stuff. But I felt very much like this belongs to them and like for whatever reason, did it that way.
Yeah, that's an
But
interesting take
yeah.
on it.
And then I had these plastic bins, and I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day, they used to have like all of these stickers that were like the silhouettes of the dolls' faces. And so I had all the drawers organized for each girl. So it'd be like, this is like Molly's stuff. This is like Kirsten's things. And like I would put all of their things in the drawers to keep myself organized and
Wow.
also their things and all of their belongings.
That is so organized. That is like an adult level of organization because you essentially were like labeling with like
Right. Like
the
I said, I
actual
had a lot of
stickers.
time. I had a lot of time to myself. And I feel like my mom was just like, yeah, like this will keep her out of trouble. I was just minding my own business. I didn't even need anyone to play with me. Like I was chill. I was fine by myself. But all of my friends obviously wanted to come over and play with the girls. And then also my mom had gotten, do you remember how they would do like the screenplays?
Yes.
So she had those and she would make us perform them sometimes, like for Girl Scouts and stuff. And
Oh my
that I'm
God.
so glad there's no video footage of. But like, yeah, I had like a life-size like Addie dress and like some of like the real clothes and stuff. And we would like
Wow.
do the acts,
Oh
wild
my
stuff.
God,
She's
what a
really the person
dream.
you should interview, like not me. Because she probably remembers everything like so vividly. But yeah, I really did everything.
Oh my gosh. I mean, we love a mom's perspective. We interviewed our moms, and
Oh my
they
gosh.
had a lot of tea to spill on American Girl from a mom's
Oh yeah, I
perspective.
mean they should be a club. Like I'm sure that they would have so much in common.
Right? I love how moms also got into American Girl, which we've heard from so many of our guests about this, but it's such a great way to connect with a parent or older relatives, especially as the premise of the historic AG collection is looking at past generations.
it's really sweet that it provided that kind of an opportunity, like for mothers and daughters. And also, like, at the end of the day, it was educational. Like, I think that's kind of what really sets American Girl apart from a lot of other toy brands and distributors. Like, you were actually learning, like, yes, the stories weren't like based on a real person, but like the historical events that actually did take place, and knowing that they, you know, had these really robust, like very credited researchers and just like teams that they were dedicating to making sure that the stories were like authentic and like true to the times. I know my mom took me, I don't really remember it because I was super young, but I believe we went to a signing for the author who wrote Addie. And I actually saw her when I went to Britt Bennett's signing for the Claudie doll. And that was just really surreal. And my mom was like, yeah, you were like so young when you went there. It's almost like, you know, 20 years later. And yeah, it's just so crazy. It's like they got like real established authors, you know, to do that.
Right.
It wasn't just like some random person on the streets or like, yeah, like someone that you found on Twitter. Like, these are real established writers.
Right. Definitely. Were you reading the books of all of the dolls that you had?
Or... I read the books, but I honestly really do not recollect a lot of things, except like I remember there was something about like, well, Addie's book is so traumatic, but there are a lot of things in her series, but the one that stands out is always when she had to like eat those worms. I was like, honestly, ugh, so gross.
I literally brought that up on a past episode as like a scene from a book that I will like never forget.
Right. Because it was traumatic.
It was so traumatic. I just was at a used bookstore and found her Meet Addie book for sale. So I bought it and I'm gonna reread it. But yeah, that was one of the things that like stuck in my mind. Whereas like, you know, from the other ones, like I remember like a few things here and there, but I think, you know, just reading them when we're so young, I feel like there's almost like a worthy cause of going back and revisiting them to see like if there's a different takeaway the second time around.
And like a bunch of my friends are starting to have kids now. And so I'm just very excited for the ones that have daughters to be able to like take them to the American Girl store and like, you know, usher them in. But yeah, I'm kind of like, I think I need to brush up so I remember what's going on, and or if they have questions, I can explain certain things. But I also remember thinking too that like Samantha really just had it good, even though it's like, oh yeah, like really sad that she's an orphan and all, but like she was looking like she had a great life. So just taking a lot of notes from her. And those petty fours, like I never forget, her whole birthday setup was just like so iconic. And that's what I wanted, and I finally got that this year. But I had like a Petty Four birthday cake. It was like insane.
Oh my god, the Petty Fours really like stood out to me too. Like growing up, I just thought they were like so fancy and
like so luxurious. Right? I'd never seen anything like it.
Seriously, and like they're pretty uncommon. Like you don't see them often.
Right. I think that's why, like, as a kid, like, they stand out to you so much, like, because where would you ever have those otherwise?
Right.
It's so glamorous. It's what, in your mind, like, if you think of a decadent dessert, I think of a Petit Four.
Same. It's just, like, it's just enough. It's, like, it's not a whole cake. It's just a little bite, but, like, that's all you need. And, wow, you know, it blew me away. Yeah, now I'm obsessed with Petit Fours as an adult, and always trying to find a way to have them be a part of the spread.
I love that. Do you get it from like a bakery or?
So the person who did my cake was this really incredible artist. Her Instagram account is Cakes for Sport, like the number four. And her name is Allie. And yeah, I was just kind of like, here's the vision. These are the colors I want. She had me pick the flavors, but I was like, I don't know what it's going to look like. But it was essentially like all these Petit Fours stacked to like make a cake. And then when I served it, it's like each person got like an individual Petit Four. And again, it was like just enough. Like you didn't need more than that because it's very sweet, but it was so good. I'll send you guys a photo.
Oh my God. We should post it in our Instagram post for this episode.
It's so cool. The whole vibe of like the birthday aesthetic here is really awesome with like the flowers and like
Thank
the
you.
macaroons. I'm
I did it
obsessed.
at Salter House in Brooklyn, which
Oh my
is one of my
God.
favorite stores.
Oh my God, that looks
Obsessed.
incredible.
All credit to Allie.
Oh my
She's
God.
just like insanely talented. If you ever need someone
Wow.
to do a cool cake, like call her.
This is just making me realize that I'm like not dreaming big enough when it comes to my birthday cakes.
I mean, it's all about the cake now. Everything
Seriously.
else is like whatever, but I didn't even know originally what I was going to do. I kind of had this idea of wanting to do some sort of like adult tea party, but I really was just like, I need to have this petit four cake vision come to life. So I had the cake secured before anything else.
And
It
then
was
built
like
the
cake,
party.
pretty much. It was like cake, dress, and then it was like everything else. And it came together
Oh my
beautifully.
God. I love that so much.
There are ways that we can all be bringing our American girl selves into our current adult lives for
Absolutely.
sure.
At some
Right?
point, I want to have like an AG themed birthday, but everyone would be tasked with like kind of coming up with your own character as a doll. It's like, who are you? You
Ooh.
know, like what's your time period? What's the outfit? You know, like coming up with this whole kind of like doll persona.
Love that.
Yeah, but I get into really heated discussions about like the rankings of the dolls. And whenever I see those kind of making rounds and like different posts, I'm just like, this is all wrong. Yeah.
That actually
Oh
brings up an interesting point because obviously, like Lindsay and I are in this like community where like we are engaging with people like on our Instagram
my
about
God.
American Girl. Have you found like out in life or as a result of any of your articles that you've had people reach out to you and like want to have some discourse on American Girl or say like, oh my God, you like unlocked a memory for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, number one, I love the American Girl meme accounts. Like all of the girls running them are truly like iconic in their own right. And yeah, I've become friendly with some of them and we'll DM them. And yeah, I've used them as sources for various articles. And they're always like, this is crazy. And I'm like, I know, but it's so exciting. And making them real authorities in the space. So that's been really cool. And then yeah, like I still have some friends that I grew up with who were also into the dolls. So every now and then we'll kind of like talk about some memory that comes up. But yeah, with doing the articles, of course, like random people have either commented on like my IG posts about them or like will DM me or tweet at me and be like, oh my God, like especially the AG Minis one. So many people were like, memory unlocked. Like, I completely forgot about this. Like, thought it was a fever dream. So, that one really got the people talking, which was so exciting to see. But yeah, it's just been funny with the whole like American girl like renaissance that I feel has been happening over the past year. And so, when I was starting to see other people doing articles, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm missing out on the moment. And I had been pitching like AG stories for a while, but like outlets were just not. They weren't seeing the vision, you know, they just didn't get it. Finally, I really feel like after that one New York Times story with like Harry Hill came out, when they were like, oh, you know, everyone's hanging out at the AG Cafe, like that's when people were finally like, oh, okay, and being more receptive to it. But I was like, I could have had, you know, like five stories out already if you had just listened to me.
Seriously, do you have any other stories or inspiration ideas in the works or any other topics you want to cover?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm kind of just honestly trying to like get my hands on catalog scans and just really going into the weeds to, you know, figure out what hasn't already been touched on, and what resonates with me. Like care and keeping a view is such a big thing for me, as it was for many women growing up during the time that we did. And I again, I'm like kicking myself for not remembering that this was like the 25th anniversary or whatever. So that was a big one that I wanted to do that I'm like, ugh, sadly, Elle did pretty much like what how I would have wanted to cover it, minus like having the writer speak in her own words, which I think is probably the most important. But yeah, I've been talking with some friends that also were very deeply impacted by American Girl. And so, you know, who knows? There could be a book at some point. But I really do just think that there's something to be said for women that grew up with American Girl and how, you know, again, it influenced them or affected sort of like the directions that they went, especially for their careers, and just, yeah, like the impact that it had on them as girls and as adults. There's like a lot to be unpacked.
So true. I often chat with Lindsay and like sometimes with our guests about what it would be like to get, you know, a group of like-minded girls together in person and do some kind of like meetup or even like event where we are obviously like, you know, maybe doing a fun activity, but taking those opportunities to like engage with each other on the importance of American Girl in our lives, because, you know, it really is not a niche thing. It's very much like a pop culture phenomenon. And I'm so glad that people are finally like giving it its flowers for that, because to me, it's like, you know, up there with Barbie for being significant in terms of like an iconic toy.
Yeah, definitely. And what you were saying, Sydney, with the New York Times article coming out, that was 2021. Like that was almost like 3 years ago at this point. And I feel like the moment has endured. It wasn't just like a trend piece. Like American Girl is like still, I think, has relevance like from that moment onwards. I think people are like really leaning into the nostalgia, and especially as they're having kids themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so wholesome, you know, like whenever I think about it, I just always smile and I'm like, I'm really glad that I got to have that be a part of like my young life. And then once I was done with it, I'm like, it all went downhill from there, but you know, it was different. Like life was different without American Girl.
How old were you when you phased out of American Girl?
Let's see. So like I said, I think the last doll that I got was Marisol. So whatever year, was that like 2007 or something? Whenever she came out, that was like my last doll. Yeah. And then, yeah, I had the AG minis and I kind of like held on to that for as long as I could. But again, it was more of like a private thing once it was like, it's not cool to be playing with dolls. So it was just in my room hidden. And yeah, I really feel like in middle school, I wasn't, you know, rolling with the girls anymore, but they still, you know, had their rightful place, like in my room. And I had my playroom in the basement. And yeah, now I just kind of wait for the day when my little cousins or like my friends' kids are ready to be exposed. And I'm just like, I will take them to the store. Like, this is so fun. But I will say, going to the Claudie book signing, it was really interesting because I feel like there were just as many people our age as there were like little girls. And I just thought that it was really, really special. Like some of the girls that were there, there was one girl who had an Addie doll and she like custom made her outfit, which I thought was really interesting. But yeah, it was like grown women were like coming with their dolls to get this book signed. And, you know, Britt Bennett, again, is a really incredible writer. So, you know, she already has like her normal fans, but then to have that crossover and knowing that she also was a really big fan of American Girl and it was a part of her childhood, like to be able to have that full circle moment, I was like, that is so incredible. Like that would honestly be a dream of mine to be able to either like have some hand in, you know, a doll and coming up with like the narrative, or, you know, like I think back to the American Girl magazines and the catalogs, and I, you know, I work for a magazine now, but like, if again, if American Girl had a job for me, like I'm ready. I was ready yesterday. Like I will gladly come over there. But I also heard rumors that there might be an American Girl movie in the works. Yes. And I'm very much like, give me a spot in that writer's room. Like, I was born for this. So I hope we all get the call.
Oh my God. Imagine.
I know. Just let us know. Like, I would love to just even be like tagged into like their marketing strategy.
Right. I'm like, I will gladly just be a source.
Oh my God. Seriously. I'll rejoin Central Casting to become an extra for it. What a dream.
That would be so cool.
Did you get into the movies that they had with like Shailene Woodley? And
I know about them, but I didn't watch them. I feel like that's where, like, again, I was like very like aged out.
Yeah.
But I do know of, I know of them. I've seen clips.
Yeah, we've gone back and watched them fairly recently, and we've been doing like some rewatches of them for the podcast and have one coming up.
Nice.
But they kind of hold up. Like, they're pretty fun to watch, and they have a lot of really good, like, they have a good cast. Like, a lot of right. famous people came out to be in them.
I mean, yeah. The adults, like Felicity, we have Marcia Gay Harden. For Molly, we had Molly Ringwald. For Kit, we had Stanley Tucci. Like, all right.
They knew what they were doing. Like, every part of this whole operation, like, no right. mistakes, no mistakes.
Exactly.
Like, the original creator, Pleasant Roland, like, again, like, such an icon. Like, she really created an empire. Have either of you ever been to the town Aurora?
No.
It's funny you say this, Sydney. I'm literally going to be like an hour away this weekend. I have a
you
wedding
need
in
to
the
go.
Finger Lakes.
I'm you like, should go.
Please stop by.
It's
have you been?
Kind of, I went 2 years ago. I was able to go because they were opening a spa.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the American Girl founder, Pleasant Roland, basically kind of like runs this town. She, you know, went to college at whatever university is over there and has kind of like taken it upon herself to preserve a lot of the buildings around there, like on the campus and the town. Helping to create, you know, these like businesses that, you know, essentially like keep it going. But it's really crazy. Like, when I was walking around, like doing the tour, and you're walking in all of like the houses and the buildings, and like, it felt like American Girl for adults. Like, I was having like just really weird, like deja vu, but I was like, I just like, I felt it. Like, I felt the energy, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, these people don't understand what I'm going through, but like, this is like some sort of weird simulation.
Wow.
But like, her power, you know,
her power, seriously. Like, first of all, Lindsay, you have to go there if you can. Second of
Please
all,
go.
Pleasant is like the one takeaway that I think I've had that I wasn't expecting out of like revisiting American Girl is what an enigma Pleasant Roland is, because she like is so involved with many things, but she's also so like behind the scenes.
Right.
And with regard to American Girl, she doesn't speak on it or give any like interviews about it. She's not involved in any way, shape, or form anymore. And it's almost like she's like just takes on these like hugely successful projects and then just like moves on completely.
Exactly. She just like fades into the background, like that Homer Simpson kid, where he's like going in the bushes. Like, that's her after she's like made her mark.
Exactly.
Honestly, even in your article on the mini rooms, hearing from the person on the product design team saying that Pleasant was fond of the project with the mini rooms, it was something to grasp onto. That was, you know, you just don't really get that much from Pleasant.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you both have seen a lot of like the various articles about her and like, I don't know, just different theories and whatnot. But I'm like, at the end of the day, she was a girl boss.
Truly.
And I mean, no one was doing it like her.
It's so, so true. And I think that it's so fitting that the behind the scenes story of this brand is like a story about like a woman girl bossing her way into like the most successful toy, like indie toy brand.
I know. I hope there's like a Pleasant cameo in the AG movie.
I like
honestly
wonder if she'd be willing to do that.
I would love if like in addition to the American Girl movie, they just made a movie about like the founding of American Girl.
Right.
I would actually love to watch that.
Seriously. We have so many like founder movies that are so like male centric. It's like
time.
Give us Pleasant.
Yeah. And it would be something cheesy like just Pleasant, or I don't know, some quirky little title.
No, I mean, the fact that her name is Pleasant is just iconic in its own right.
Obsessed.
Oh my god. Okay, who do we think would play Pleasant in
oh my god,
Pleasant Roland story?
Oh my god. I mean, immediately I think of Meryl.
Me too.
I was either thinking like Meryl or someone like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yes.
That is such a good suggestion.
Yeah.
It needs to happen though.
Oh my God. Yes, please.
We're
I
putting it out into
know.
the universe. Make the Pleasance movie.
Please. Okay, this was like one of the most like this was practically like a
We
brainstorming
gave them a free idea. And so now they have to put us in the writer's room.
I know. I don't even need credit. I just need to be on the writing roster and I'll be good.
I just need to be in the room when
Yeah.
decisions are made. They don't even have to ask my opinion. I just need to be able to say that I was there.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Oh my God.
But you really should go to Aurora. It's such a beautiful village. And yeah, I think you'll have an amazing time. I love the Finger Lakes. Big fan.
Yeah, I'll report back. Here's hoping. I
Also,
booked my
there was
little
this
detour.
one house that I don't know if you've read this article, but or maybe it was in one of the articles just like talking about her. But basically, there was this house that she wanted to buy to be like a tea room. And I guess this is the home that Samantha's house was based off of. And yeah, so the idea was that it would be this like tea room for girls to come, like an American Girl tea room. And I guess like the town just like did not want to give it to her. Some sort of a
Oh
crazy like,
no.
conflict. So she never got the house. But again, what could have been?
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, the traffic alone and like what that would bring to a community and like.
Right. I feel like whatever the town is, they probably just like got scared because they saw what happened to Aurora and how she just kind of
Yeah.
like took over. But I mean,
My
maybe
God.
Pleasant for Mayor. Like, I don't know. I feel like she could do a lot
Right.
of great things for New York City. I mean, certainly much better than Eric Adams. So she would have my vote.
Absolutely.
Same.
I feel there's nothing she can't do,
Yeah,
honestly.
maybe Pleasant is the answer. Maybe she would save us all. Can you imagine
Honestly.
her like running the White House? Can you imagine the decor?
She is somebody who I feel like everything you find out about them, like their background is surprising. Like, it's like how I feel when I found out that, like, Ina Garten used to work in, like, the White House, like, I don't know what if it was like nuclear policy or something before she was like on Food Network. Like that's what I how I feel about Pleasant is that like she's secretly like a like mathematician or something like that or
Right.
like has like a like Rhodes scholarship for business or something that like she's
Seriously.
just like out here like casually slaying but like we know her most for American Girl which is like still a
Right.
slay but like it's just the one element of all the things she's
Right.
done.
The fact that she bought Mackenzie Childs was mind-blowing to me when I first found that out. And then we also touched on this a few episodes back, but she also donated an organ to the Madison Symphony Orchestra in Wisconsin. And this organ is like big news. Like it's believed to be the heaviest movable object in any theater in the world. So,
Just
yeah,
pleasant, you know?
just pleasant things.
Yeah, I actually have a ton of Mackenzie Childs stuff in my apartment because my mom loves Mackenzie Childs. So before we got to have this experience staying in Aurora, she would always go for the barn sale. And I would always be like, "Mom, you're crazy. Like, you can just buy it online." She'd be like, "You don't understand." But then I found out about like all of these collections of theirs from like the 80s and the 90s that are very different. My mom is very like traditional, like loves just like the classic like black and white check, but I'm more into like fun colors and whimsical things. So
Yeah.
anyway, all to say I've been collecting stuff on my own now, but it's very different than what she has. But when we went to Aurora, we obviously like stopped at the Mackenzie Childs like outlet, and I have like their contacts now for PR too. So like everything has just really come full circle in this bizarre way, where
Seriously.
again, it all goes back to AG. It's all connecting to Pleasant somehow. And I don't know. I don't know what to
Wow.
say about
The
it.
pleasant connection. Oh my
She has her
God.
hand at everything, I guess. Also, now that I'm thinking about it, honestly, I think I want like Martha Stewart to play her.
Ooh.
Like,
Amazing.
I
Yeah.
can see that.
Yes.
I feel a synergy there. Another girl boss.
I feel that they must be connect like I would imagine that Pleasant has like interfaced with some famous people and like is connected with them. Well, first of all, the Kardashians are big Mackenzie Childs fans, which is like really weird, but it aligns with Kris and her like 80s persona, I guess. But yeah, I feel like Martha and Pleasant like may already be in touch even.
They probably hang out.
Yeah.
I could see it. Sydney, we could talk to you for hours.
I
This
know,
has
I was going to
been
say the same.
so
Like,
fun.
I feel like this isn't enough time, but again, like,
Really?
has been a blast.
So
Right?
fun.
Oh my goodness. Well, a question that we like to ask all of our guests here on AGW is, what lasting impression did American Girl leave on you?
Oh, it's so loaded. I mean, it was everything. Like, I really honestly feel like I wouldn't have navigated my career in the way that I did, like, without American Girl. And whether I was like aware of it or not, you know, in the moment, now looking back, I can kind of very clearly see just how these different little facets like contributed to just like who I am today, what I'm into, and really just like exploring my creativity. Like, there were just so many different things, from the books to the dolls to the mini rooms. And I'm just really, really grateful that, yeah, I got to really lean into play in that way. And the style, you know, the design, just being exposed to all these very different types of like visual art, super cool.
Totally. It seems like AG really like lit the way and like ignited something inside of you that you carry with you today, and that's really beautiful.
Yeah, like, it's kind of bizarre to think about something having that deep of an impact on you, you know?
Yeah.
And I really feel like I wouldn't have realized it without my current job and the work that I'm doing, and just, yeah, being able to really see that kind of like come to fruition.
Totally. I think so many of us are in that same period of reflection where we're realizing just how much of an impact this brand has had on us and continues to have to this day. Hopefully, like there's so much that's changed about it, but hopefully for the next gen too, they're finding it impactful as well.
Just even seeing how now they have like dolls that are, you know, like based on the 90s. I'm like, that's too soon. That was like yesterday. But you know, I guess for the next gen, that does seem like forever ago. Or yeah, even having a doll from the 70s, I was like, what? Like, what are we talking about? But you know, they do what they need to do.
I know, it's so surreal.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, if
Seriously.
I ever have kids, like, what will the new dolls be? You know, like, how do they kind of keep it going and keep things fresh? And again, that's another room I'd love to be in. I'm like, who's tasked with making these decisions? Like,
Right. I'm really excited for the 2010s indie sleaze doll that's gonna come
oh my gosh.
out.
I mean, the Tumblr doll, I want to see that girl.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to American Girl Women. For more AG Women content, follow us on IG at American Girl Women or send us your American Girl stories via AmericanGirlWomen@gmail.com. We might just read them on the pod. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.